The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn here, joined by Lee Phelps, to look ahead to the best of the international football coming up over the next few days. It's a debut for me on The Punt as well. I feel very honoured, Lee.
Oh, really? Yeah. Normally you used to. I mean, I suppose it's, you know, European football podcast is your baby, but this is kind of like a European football podcast. It's the qualifiers for the European Championship.
So very, very true.
Who else would I get on?
And as I was saying, I finally got rid of Ray Druitt. He's been clinging onto my coattails for years now. So I feel like I finally made it.
Yeah, I'm worried that I might get some hate mail from Ray. He's that kind of guy, isn't he?
No, he can't write. So
okay, fine. He might just drew it.
Oh, dear.
That's what you get on this podcast.
Let's not.
That's the level.
Well, okay, this could be fun then. As you said, we're looking ahead to the Euro 2016 qualifiers, the second batch, if you like. It's weird, though, having them all on different days, isn't it?
It is weird, yeah. I still haven't quite got used to it. But what it is good for is our in-play radio station. It means it spreads itself out over about 10 days, which is fantastic.
That is true.
And it's more manageable as well, because, on every day, you've only got, eight fixtures. Rather than having all of them, at least you can get stuck into them a bit and have a bet on every single day.
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of punting, I think you can almost have a treble a day.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to put an 8 or 9-fold together on the one day. There's certainly money to be made.
It's a bit like the Europa League. There's like 4 at 5 and 4 at 7:45. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
Yeah, it's good.
England, of course, are coming up on Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock kickoff for their trip to Estonia. Estonia 12-1, the draw 5-1, England 1-4. We didn't really learn much about England, did we, against San Marino, other than San Marino are rubbish. Estonia aren't fantastic either, but I don't know about you, Lee. I thought 1-4 was a little bit short. I think England will win, but I thought 1-4 perhaps a little skinny. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to find a way in when England are so short, isn't it? I mean, Estonia, I started off really well, beating Slovenia 1-0, then lost 1-0 to Lithuania. I mean, I was talking to Dave Kellner about them on the pre-weekend punt, and they drew 1-1 with Gibraltar in Gibraltar's previous only away game. I don't know how they drew with Gibraltar 1-1, because as we've seen from Gibraltar, they're not all that. England should go there, not have any panic, and win this game 3-0. I mean, that's what they've done. I think they've done that twice already against Estonia in the previous games they've played. 7-1 for that price. I mean, there's a load of headline offers and match specials. I mean, Rooney and Welbeck both to score and England to win. I think the win is a given, right? I agree with you that the price, I wouldn't be, I don't like the price at all, 1-4, but they will win this game. You know, they're full of confidence. They've beaten Switzerland. You know, they've obviously, beaten San Marino easy. Rooney and Welbeck to score? I quite like that, 3-1, I must admit. I think it will happen. England to win by 4 or more goals, 5-1. Not sure they'll quite go that far. Because, if they're comfortable going into the second half or the latter stage of the second half, I think he might start bringing players off, with Premier League bosses kind of texting him as the game's going on, saying, yeah, get my man off. But I mean, I think even, some of the prices about goal scorers are fair. You're looking at Raheem Sterling, 13-10 to score any time. Not a bad little price. You maybe look at some of the defenders again. Jagielka, 9-2 to score any time. It's not a bad price either. Cahill's 4-1. So I think, I think England will get the job done. It's just trying to find the value bet, isn't it? And find the way they're going to do it. I think, if you think back to the Switzerland game, we didn't sit back and soak up loads of pressure. We played quite well. And I don't think they'll sit back here. I think they'll go for Estonia.
Well, the thing is, I was actually on in-play radio on Thursday evening, and I was covering the games in England's group, including the England game. And the Welbeck and Rooney both to score England to win was 8-11 then.
Yeah.
I thought that was decent value, and I think the same here. 3-1's a huge price for that. Likewise, I was fully against Estonia travelling to Lithuania, and they did very little to convince me that they are anything other than very, very poor. I think the value here for me, personally, Welbeck anytime, 5-6.
That's decent as well. Yeah, because he's the main man. He's in form as well, isn't he? I was looking back to Estonia's World Cup qualification group. No, they only won one game in that group. So it was all like 2012, 2013 at home. They only won once, and that was against Andorra, which is a pretty poor record. But the most remarkable result in that group was Estonia 2, the Netherlands 2.
Mm.
And the Netherlands scored their equaliser in stoppage time. It was a stoppage time penalty that Van Persie converted. I don't know how you explain that result. That's probably the best result Estonia have ever had. Almost beating Netherlands, who, you know, pretty much went through everyone in that group with ease. So, I mean, I suppose you've got to be careful that they're not going to raise the game to such an extent that England find it difficult to beat them. But they should, you know, they should get past them. I think there's no really recognised, you know, major players. Sergei Zenyov plays for Blackpool, 36 caps. He's the only player who's playing his trade in England. The rest are from all over the place, really. But you know, there's a few who play for some of the top Estonian clubs. Banik Ostrava, player from Czech Republic. But you know, they're not. You know, I think the Henri Anier, the striker, their leading scorer at the minute, he plays for Au in Germany. But there's a really interesting player, Einar Jager. It's Enarjager. Mm-hmm. 108 caps, most cap player in this squad. Hasn't got a club.
Oh, wow.
Hasn't got just plays for Estonia.
Yeah.
And he played against Lithuania. 108 caps. He's only 29. He can't get a club. What does that say?
Yeah, can't be the best. No, I think it's fair to say.
There's also Henrik Oyama, who plays for Motherwell.
Yes.
23-year-old.
He was prolific a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Never scored a goal for his country, though. So, yeah, I mean, no great names. You know, England would be absolutely kicking themselves if they didn't come away from here with a win. So it's just trying to find a way. And I looked at corners as well, Alex, yeah, just to see what... Because Estonia aren't particularly an attacking team. They don't tend to get many corners. England, you know, against Switzerland, got 6. I expect them to get more. The first bit of value you can really get on the corners, looking at handicaps, is -3, and even that's a touch of odds on. So you know it might not attract too many people in. England -3 corners is 7-10. Can see it landing, but people might be put off a little bit by the amount of corners. Total match corners under 10 is 29-20, 10-12, 2-1, and over 12, 8-5. Probably wouldn't be brave enough to touch that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But yeah, a comfy England win.
Okay. In terms of, here's a question more for me than anything else, because I'm considering a bet on this.
Okay.
Would you rather be England minus a goal at 7-10, or England to win to nil at 4-5?
Minus a goal, I think. But I probably always am, you know, just in case something daft happens. You know, we considered to San Marino once upon a time, didn't we?
Yeah, true.
At their place. Yeah, I mean, minus a goal. I mean, to be honest, I'd probably go -2. You know, and that's what they're the bets that I was looking at.
Mm.
Because I think England are confident. They are starting. I'm not saying they're going to win the European Championships or anything, but I think they're confident. And I think they'll go into this... And play the right kind of football, you know, and they'll get after Estonia, and I think it could be a pretty good night for England, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you look back at the Switzerland game. I thought it was a really good performance. You know, maybe it's been overhyped since then, but in Welbeck, your shout for Welbeck to score, I like that. And like I said, Welbeck and Rooney both to score at 3-1, that offer, I like that as well.
Okay. So England managed to go 7-10, England -2, 19-10. Plenty of headline offers to look at. We mentioned Rooney and Welbeck, both to score, England to win 3-1. Rooney to score 2 or more, England to win 7-2. Sterling to score any time, England to win 2-1. Plenty of markets to get your teeth stuck into. Best bet in this one, Lee?
Yeah, I like the -1 that you said. I like the -3 corners as well, both kind of similar sort of prices. I like those. The other one that I quite liked, it's just a bit of a fun one, really. Over 2.5 goals in the match and over 6 cards, 10-1. Estonia have had a bit of a... There's a couple of sendings off of late and can get a little bit tetchy. I think England would give a bit back as well. So I know over 6 cards is a lot in any game, but just as a little price play to take you through the rest of to play for the rest of the match. I think if Estonia are struggling to get the ball back off England, then there could be a few choice tackles going in there. So that's just a bit of a fun one at 10-1.
Okay, Wales against Cyprus coming up next, 7:45 on Monday evening. Wales 2-5, the draw 7-2. Cyprus are 7-1. Again, Lee, I thought Wales a little short at 2-5. I think Cyprus are no great shakes whatsoever. But Wales haven't been traditionally. They have picked up a little bit of late, and the fact that you're getting 8-11 about Gareth Bale anytime, that it could be a decent price, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think it is a good. I think it's a great price. I mean, I think he's the man, isn't he? I mean, did you see that shot he had against Bosnia?
Well, the one at Begovic.
Oh.
That pushed
was
on the post.
So good, wasn't it? It was just, you could just see the bend on it. It was like, you know, it was like one of those kind of computer graphics where they draw the they draw the trajectory of the ball going around. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, a little bit disappointed in them not getting a goal against Bosnia. I thought they'd score. I thought Bosnia would score, but yeah, I mean, they obviously got a lot of problems with injuries, Wales, which is a major problem for them. But unbeaten, so confidence still pretty high. Wales obviously beat Andorra with those two goals and that. Pretty ropey pitch, and the 0-0 draw. Cyprus opened up with a win over Bosnia in Bosnia. I mean, I've still got no idea how that really happened. But then they scored at home against Israel as well. So I think, you know, Wales putting together this, you know, a three-game run of games where they're undefeated doesn't happen very often in qualifiers. And, you know, they didn't do that in the World Cup qualifiers. You know, the most they strung together was the 1-0 win over Macedonia and the draw in Belgium when they were already done. Looking back to the last European qualification, that's when they had a really nice run then. That was back in 2011 when they beat Switzerland and beat Bulgaria away. But again, still wasn't three on the bounce. Very rare that they don't lose three games in succession. I think the last time they did it was in 2007 when they beat San Marino away 2-1, drew with the Republic, and then got a 0-0 draw in Germany. Again, last group game, so you're never quite sure. I think they might be disappointed here. I think Wales might get a draw here and end up being disappointed with what they've got out of it. I know that's it's like you're trusting Cyprus a lot here, but I think Cyprus can score. So that's why I'm looking at it. I'm thinking if Cyprus can get a goal, then with all these players that Wales have got out, you know, they're heavily reliant on Gareth Bale, of course. And yeah, so I mean, I was looking at the draw and both teams to score is 9-2, which I think is decent. I think Cyprus might be a little bit overpriced as well.
Yeah,
they're looking at some. I mean, look at the price they are against Wales, for goodness sake, with injuries. I mean, Cyprus plus a goal is 9-5. So you're getting the draw and the Cyprus win. I just don't think Cyprus can win in Wales. It seemed a bit of a stretch to me. But yeah, like, I mean, Gareth Bale to score in the game, it might be as well just going with that if you can't be bothered with the outrights.
That's a bigger price than the outrights, isn't it?
8-11 for one of the best players in Europe to score against Cyprus.
Well, you look at the other candidates to score, if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, in the betting, you've got Simon Church, Tom Lawrence, Jake Taylor, George Williams, Hal Robson-Kanu, David Cottrell. They're not anywhere close to being in the same league.
And no.
Granted, you know, Cyprus will double up on Bale whenever they can, but that doesn't mean they're going to stop him.
No, not at all.
I think that's probably where the value lies in this one, for me, at least.
Yeah, I can see why. I agree. I mean, I just think, I think, you know, the other thing is Cyprus, when they went to Bosnia, they kind of did what a lot of the teams in the Premier League are doing. They just allowed Bosnia to have the ball. Just gave them the ball. And, you know, I think the possession stats were like, I think it was like 66%, 34. They didn't have much, you know, the goals that they scored were the shots they had on target. So they really hit Bosnia on the break. But if they do that to Wales, you know, are Wales good enough to withstand? Will Wales get a bit carried away with themselves and attack a bit too much in front of the home crowd and allow Cyprus in once or twice? And I think if you allow Cyprus in a couple of times, you know, the scoring goals, I think they could get on the score sheet. If as far as the Cypriot players go in terms of goal scorers, the man who got both against Bosnia, 11-2 to score any time, Dimitris Christofi, 11-2 to score any time. Looks big, that, to me as well. You know, Wales aren't the greatest defensively, aren't they?
No. Well, one thing to note, I remember watching Wales away at, it was Andorra, wasn't it, when they won 2-1. They sort of played a slightly odd formation, and that day we thought there would be value in one of the left backs, whichever one is sort of playing further forward. There was Neil Taylor playing, as well as Ben Davies. Now, I think in the end they sort of played a 5-3-2 almost, with three centre backs and wing backs. But even then, I mean, Taylor's 9-1 any time. Ben Davies is also 9-1 any time. I just think, wait and see what the team news is like. We know there's injuries, etc. They may just have a reshuffle. I think you could end up with one of those being a lot further forward than they are usually. That, again, could just represent a bit of value as a sort of play throughout the game. 9-1 any time, you can afford to have 50 pence on, can't you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's strange how that's... I don't know why Dimitris Christofi is so far down the list.
No.
I mean, he's playing number nine. He's the furthest man up front. Yet he's like the sixth. In the betting, I don't get why the traders have put him down there. It's like he's an attacking midfielder. He should be the favourite in that list effectively.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's playing up front. Obviously, you know, team news is everything in these kind of matches. But if he's number nine again, you know, I see no reason why having a bet on 11-2 isn't worth a shout.
Okay, what's your best bet in this one, then, Lee?
I'm going to just play the straight draw. But right. I do like him as well, though. I had a bit of luck with the goal scorers over the weekend, and it would be vying for my favourite bet. Cristoffi, anytime, mother draw. I'll go with him.
Okay.
Because I'm not overly sure of what will happen in the game. I just think Cyprus will get a goal, at least.
Fair enough. Okay, next up is Poland against Scotland. This one on Tuesday. Again, 7:45 kickoff. Poland 19-20. The draw 21-10. Scotland 17-5. Scotland were pretty good against Georgia. I know they only won 1-0, and they did have a few little scares towards the end of the game, but certainly watching the first half, they were well on top and looked good value for their win. That said, they're coming against the Poland side here, who have just beaten Germany 2-0. How they've done that, I don't know. Again, didn't watch that game, but saw the stats for it, and it was one-way traffic, to say the least.
29 shots on goal.
Talk about smash and grab. But we know that Poland do have good players. Obviously, the likes of Robert Lewandowski. Lukasz Piszczek as well, right-back, is a very good player. And, you know, the two goal scorers from the other night, Milik and Miller, are decent players as well. They've got quality.
Yeah,
but Scotland are looking a bit of a different proposition at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was I didn't watch it either, but I saw the result, and I was, you know, one of those where I thought, what? First time they've lost in 19 competitive matches, Germany. I think it's the first time they've ever beaten them, Poland.
I think it was Germany's first away loss in a qualifier since 2000.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Never beaten Germany before in their history, Poland. It's just a remarkable result. And there'll probably be a bit of a come down from that, I think. Look, Scotland under... I said this before the weekend. Scotland under Strachan are a very organised team. We saw when they went to Germany, they gave as good as they got when they went to Germany and lost 2-1. They had a good go at it. And we're a little unlucky, to be fair. Muller scored early, which I thought they'd last out to at least half-time. But then they kept it pretty tight for the rest of the game. Only 1-0 in the home game, which Strachan says is the best he's seen his team play under him. Looking back at the qualifiers when Strachan was in charge away from home, didn't concede to Croatia and got a win. They conceded one against Macedonia in the 2-1 win. The one came in the 84th minute. Scotland will keep this very, very tight. Poland will have to do what they did to Germany. You know, the stats were this. I think it was like, you know, again, probably about 67% possession for Germany. With all those shots, it'll be Poland who come out and try and come forward, and Scotland will soak it up and try and hit them on the break. I think this is going to be a real low scoring match. This one, I can see what Strachan's got in mind here. If he can go there and get away with a draw, he'd be absolutely delighted. I think, especially after what Poland have just done. The draw's 21-10, which is a little bit short. You know, the draw is usually a tad bigger than that. To be fair, and if you're looking at the goals. Have you seen what the price is for under 2.5 goals?
Under
1-2.
You see, that is ludicrously short.
I honestly thought that it would be bigger than that, with the fact that Poland have obviously got goals in them. I'm going to struggle to play that. Do you know what? I mean, I think there will be under 2.5 goals in the match, but because of that price, I want to go over 2.5.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's just, you know, just out of spite almost.
But if you do think under 2.5 will land, you can almost double it up with the result. Poland win and under 2.5 is 9-4.
Yeah.
Drawn.
I don't think Poland will win
5.
This, though. I think Scotland will get something out of it. I just don't know if I'm confident enough to trust them to. I mean, they went to Croatia and won 1-0 under Strachan. Croatia, Poland are probably better than Croatia now, but there's not an awful lot in it, you know. And you would say Croatia is as tough a place to go as Poland is. I don't know whether to trust Scotland here. I'm tempted to trust them and go for a win. I think they're playing some really nice stuff. But 17-5. I mean, it's. I don't think I've ever backed Scotland away anywhere.
Yeah.
Even. Yeah. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, this one. I mean, you may look back on this and, you know, Poland win 2-0 and it's pretty routine. Then 19-20, you thought, oh, what a bet that was. Yeah, tricky. Again, though, you mentioned Lewandowski, one of the top strikers in Europe. Odds against?
Yeah, well, I would, the one I'm looking at here is, because I'm in agreement, I think it'd be low scoring. Poland to win 1-0. Mm-hmm. And Robert Lewandowski to score. Right. 14-1.
That's a big price, isn't it?
And I just think you can't argue with his class. I think if Scotland, like you said, they're very organised, I think their weakness is probably at centre-back. Not in terms of effort or commitment, but just a little bit quality, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's Grant Hanley and Russell Martin who were the ones that played centre-back against Georgia. I just think against Lewandowski, there's a chance that he could just turn it on. Like I said, I don't think he's not going to score a hat-trick, but he's the main goal threat, and the fact he's 6-5 any time is big. But I think you could almost couple it with a result. I don't think there will be many goals. Poland 1-0, Lewandowski 14. Works for me, to be honest.
Yeah. Hard to argue with a price like that. You don't have to have too much on it to have a bit of fun with it, do you? That does look decent. But yeah, in general, I think the game will go. Poland will attack, and you think if he gets a few chances, you think they should seal one of them, shouldn't they? Mm. Look at the record so far. Poland beat Gibraltar 7-0, and Poland and then beat Germany 2-0.
Yet to concede a goal as well.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
To be fair, that's why. I mean, you know, the under 1.5 is
7-4.
Yeah, 7-4.
It's a bit short, I think, because if there's a goal in the first half, basically,
yeah,
you're not on a loser, but
no, you
could almost back it. It might be worth waiting half an hour. That under 1.5 will go probably even money after half an hour. Then you'll know the pattern of the game, if it is dull, if nothing's happening. That certainly could be one that you can look at in play, but... Right, if I'm going to pin you down for one selection here, Lee, what's it going to be?
I'm just going to go for the draw. I think Scotland will get something out of it. I think it could be... I think the draw under 2.5, but, you know, adding the 2.5 into it, with that price of 1-2, it makes me nervous. So just a straight draw on this one. I think Scotland will defend to the hilt. I think they'll do all right, but I think they are capable. You know, they've got goal scorers. We haven't mentioned their goal scorers. I mean, I think that maybe they're overpriced as well. Naismith, Fletcher, both been in the goals in the Premier League. 12-5, both of them. Even moving down, we were talking about Ryan Gold before the weekend. Anya as well, 19-5 and 9-2 they are. Graham Dorrit, you know, there's plenty of players in there who can score from free kicks, who can score from outside the area. James Morrison, Graham Dorrins are all good prices. I'll just play the straight draw. 21-10.
Fair enough. Next up, Germany, Republic of Ireland. Again, Tuesday evening. Germany 3-10. The draw 9-2. Ireland 17-2. Ireland coming here off the back of a comprehensive victory over Gibraltar. But in fairness, I think I could have played in that and bagged a goal. So I wouldn't read too much into that. Germany coming here definitely licking their wounds. 3-10, again, it's short, but I thoroughly expect them to dispose of Ireland pretty comfortably here. What about you?
Yeah, I think this is... Republic probably saw that Poland result and went, oh, no. What? No. Why do we have to play them next?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things as well, because I think since the World Cup, Germany have played three times, haven't they?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. They,
the Argentina, the friendly, wasn't there?
Yeah, they lost to Argentina 4-2, beat Scotland 2-1. And I know Scotland played well, but you'd have expected them to have won that slightly more comfortably, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the loss to Poland. Either they're going to continue in this sort of patchy form, or they're going to absolutely annihilate the side. And Ireland are the kind of side, they're a bit all or nothing, if you like.
Yeah.
I think they'll either get a draw here, or -2 will land. I don't think it'll be one or the other.
Yeah, they'll try for the draw, and that's what they'll do.
Mm.
They'll obviously set up, you know, with two buses parked on the on the edge of the 18-yard box, and just try and defend for their lives, and then just, you know, try and hit on the break, and, you know, and use Robbie Keane to, you know, to try and, you know, if he gets a couple of chances, he might score one. You know, he's in great form in the MLS at the moment. We talked about this before the weekend. We put him up to score two or more in the game against Gibraltar. Probably should have gone for the hat trick, really. 6-4 to score two or more, and, you know, that landed nice and easy. He scored five goals in the last three games in the MLS as well. So 100-30 to score any time. But
takes penalties as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, so. I think Germany will fly out the blocks here. You know, they'll be hurting after that Poland defeat. Republic of Ireland played them in the last of the World Cup qualifiers. And lost 3-0. They lost 6-1 in the same group at home. And, you know, Germany, you look through their home form in the in World Cup qualifiers, and they always score in the first half. They're just relentless. So I think this could be a bit of a torrid night for the Republic. If they look, if they defend and they get to half time, then the Germans might start to get a little bit nervy. But I honestly think Germany could be winning like by 15 minutes here. I think okay. they'll absolutely come out the blocks flying, and that happens fairly regularly. If you look through those, you know, Kadira scored after 12 minutes against the Republic in that 3-0 win. There were two goals up inside 15 minutes against Sweden. They scored within the half an hour against Kazakhstan and the Faroe Islands when they probably weren't at it. It seems when they play the better teams, they score even quicker than they do when they play the weaker teams. Mm. So there's such a strong team. That I'm going to go for that. The Scotland game as well. Muller scored inside 18 minutes, didn't he? Mm. You know, it took him a while to get going after that. So Germany to be winning at 30 minutes is 5-4. I like that. You could also play just the goals. If you have a look on the actual match page and look at the goal time. Time of first Germany goal, first to 15th minute is 11-4. Up to and including the 30th minute is 19-20, which does look a bit short. But they do it time and time again.
Yep.
So I see no reason not to trust them to do it again, especially after what happened with Poland. In terms of who gets the goals, Götze has been in great form. 8-11 any time to score a goal in this match. I think they'll score three against Republic. Mm-hmm. I think they'll really beat them relatively easily. I watched both of the games in the World Cup qualifier, and it was embarrassing at times. I know it was a different regime in charge.
Yeah.
But the 6-1 was just. I mean, it was like watching what they did to Brazil, but Ireland were trying. You know, Brazil just kind of gave up, didn't they, in the World Cup? But it was like that. They were just cutting them open at will. So a pretty routine win for Germany here after what happened. Minus a goal is 3-4.
Yeah, but I think with that, going on what you've said, would you not rather take half-time, full-time at the same price?
Could do, yeah.
Yeah.
No reason not to. I like minus two, though. I mean, I think they will win by three clear goals here.
Okay.
I think the Republic... I think the Republic will be a little bit undercooked after the Gibraltar game, you know, and Germany, if you think about how those two games went, you know, I would have rather Republic have had a good game, you know, a bit of a test ahead of this, rather than, you know, Germany have, you know, they're like a wounded animal and all the other cliches. So my favourite bet in the game is minus two at 21-10.
Okay. Fair enough. Player to watch for me, Karim Bellarabi for Germany.
Yeah.
Player I've been harping on about on the European podcast for Leverkusen. Just getting his sort of chance at international level. To be fair, started against Poland, so whether or not he gets binned, I don't know. He's 11-10 any time. That's far too short, but he's one to just keep an eye on at least. He is a player going places. And if he starts, he's more likely to get an assist, to be honest, than a goal. But certainly one to watch. Your best bet in this one then, minus two?
Yeah, Germany minus two at 21-10. Sorry, Ireland.
Okay, fair enough. The final game that we're going to look at, another one on Tuesday evening, 7:45, Greece against Northern Ireland. Greece 4-7, the draw 13-5, Northern Ireland 6-1. You mentioned sides that don't often not lose two in a row. Northern Ireland pretty much fit into that category.
Yeah.
They've now won two in a row.
Wow.
For the
top of the group, aren't they?
Yeah, one at Hungary. Won at home to Faroe Islands. It's the first time that they've won two in a row for as long as I could be bothered to do my research for, Lee. Which is a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Greece, you know what you're getting. Pretty boring. Unders seem pretty likely in this game.
Yeah.
Some would say it's a bit of an uninspiring game. I think that the 6-10 on under 2.5 could be pretty good value here.
Yeah, it is. You know, I know we've kind of just poo-pooed the 1-2 in the Scotland game, but look, this looks absolutely nailed on, doesn't it? I mean, you know, Ireland don't. The danger is that Ireland chuck in one of those performances that they do sometimes, where they really disappoint you. I've seen, you know, I've struggled to get Northern Ireland right for so long because of what they tend to do away at the bigger sides, and then they let themselves down at home. Now, to be fair to them, they obviously beat the Faroe Islands. I mean, they scored two in 20 minutes and then didn't score another goal, which, you know, if you're looking to qualify, probably needed to put a few more past the Faroe Islands. But that result in Hungary was fantastic. It may be, you know, they didn't look like winning that game for an awful long time against Hungary, to be fair. You know, they... They were well behind on the shots. They were behind in the possession stats and everything else. But they did the job and got the goals late on. I think unders and the goals is probably the only way to go. I was going to look at the corners, but unfortunately, I don't think we've got the corners betting just yet, because this won't be an expansive game where there's lots of wing play or anything like that. You know, this is going to be a pretty tight affair, I think. And yeah. I don't think it won't be one that you're looking to catch up on.
Well, I think given the choice between watching Poland, Scotland or Germany, Republic of Ireland alongside this, they all kick off at the same time.
Yeah.
I think this one may just get pushed to one side.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be many people watching. Well, obviously the Northern Ireland fans will
be. Of course,
And we had a bit of a result actually on Northern Ireland. Darren Gilpin on Twitter, followed him for a long time, he's a big Nor-9 fan, as they say. Ages ago he alerted me to Gareth McCauley every now and again he pops up, and I put him up at the weekend and he scored again.
6-1 to score in this one.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a big price, you know, and if you're looking for a goal scorer, I'm not sure there will be any goals in this. You know, the 0-0 might be a play, but you know, set pieces might be the only place that Northern Ireland really get the chance to score against Greece. So it might be that he's worth looking at again. I mean, getting 2-2 is maybe a little bit. Maybe we should just kind of cut our losses or cut our wins and say that's enough for that. But yeah, I think under 1.5 though. I'm happy to go under 1.5. I think Greece don't score many goals, and I think Northern Ireland will just try and keep it tight and try and hit them on the break. So I'm willing to play under 1.5 on this, and
2-1 for that.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's any shorter than that I wouldn't play it, but it's fair enough.
Okay,
7-4 wasn't it in the Scotland game?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I think this is even more likely than the Scotland game to be under.
Yeah, I do.
So so a little bit bigger price on the 2-1 will do for me.
Well, you look at the Scotland game, you've got the likes of Lewandowski in there,
yeah,
who's a world-class striker, yeah, and there's no one near that quality.
No,
in
the Mitroglou is there, you know, to be fair, you know, has kind of, you know, come away from England and started to play a lot better.
Yeah, but you look at Greece, the majority of Greece's team, it just doesn't seem to change ever. how old are these players?
I don't know, it's really weird. And they just qualify all the time,
yeah,
don't they? They do so well. I thought that the same thing myself. I was like, when are Greece going to get a new crop of players?
They just don't seem to. Like Giorgio Samaras, he's got to be 60-odd now.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a chance. If you're looking for an anytime Greek scorer, Samaras 10 yep. to 11 is probably the value.
The
Kone as well at 19 to 10.
We can't do this bet at the minute because we haven't got the corners or the cards markets, but it's well worth having a look at, you know, the trebles that you can put together, the stats trebles. It'll be under 2, I don't know what the price will be, under 2.5 goals, under 10 corners. And overs on the cards.
Yes.
Greece are a feisty bunch.
Yeah, it'll get niggly, won't it?
Oh, I mean, they in the game against the game they lost. Just want to look at they lost the first game they played. Just trying to find this now, actually.
The first qualifier.
Romania, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Romania, they lost to Romania, and there were Greece themselves had 5 bookings in that match. Mm. Then obviously they've only just drawn with Finland, which is not the greatest result in the world. So, you know, they're in a bit of bother at the minute. Greece had another 3 bookings in that game as well. You know, so I think that could be another little play if you're looking to I don't know what sort of price it'll be, but it's worth having a look. I mean, the overs and the cards might push up a little bit, the unders and the goals and the corners might not be particularly great, but I think with the cards, again, if Greece are getting a little bit frustrated at Northern Ireland's tactics, which I think will be pretty defensive, then they might start kicking out again a little bit. So yeah, unders on the goals, unders on the corners and overs on the cards might be worth a look, depending on the price.
Okay. Right then, what favourite bet for the weekly of all these games? What is the one that has most taken your fancy?
I like the Germany game. I like Germany -2 at 21-10. I think they'll really get after Ireland. You know, the early goal one is nice as well, to score up to and including the 30th minute. But I don't think the Republic will be able to hold on to them. I think there'll be an early goal, and then it'll just be a case of Republic trying to get one back and Germany cutting them to bits. So yeah, Germany -2 to get back on track at 21-10.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go short with mine, but I just think Gareth Bale anytime is a ludicrous price. At 8-11.
Yeah, I mean, there are some good. There's some. I think it's one of those weeks, or, you know, run of fixtures. These 5, where a lot of them you look and you think, oh God, look at the prices. But then delve a little bit deeper and you can find some nice bets.
Yeah, Okay, well, thank you for letting me on your podcast, Lee.
No, thanks for doing it. I mean, as someone new every week, it's just, you know, Kellner and Mark Walton can't even bother to work Sundays, can they?
No, not at all.
So all credit to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I do try.
Make sure you listen to the European Football Podcast.
Good plug. Out on Thursday. Yeah. Not last Thursday, as I thought it was, because of the international games. That's what happens when you take a week off, Lee.
Yeah.
You just try and do podcasts all the time, but can't be done. A pleasure talking to you. And best of luck with whatever bets you're having, listeners, throughout the week of international fixtures.